Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
I thank you most kindly, Katie, and welcome to program number 598 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we're going to be featuring songs from the 1930s. We're going to begin with Hal Kemp and the orchestra going back to 1935, and we're going to do a little shuffling off to Buffalo.
Visualize such happy hours close by your side. Honeymoon in store is one that you'll adore. I'm gonna take you for a ride. I'll go home and pack my clothes. You go get your these and those, and away we'll go. Off we're gonna shuffle off to Buffalo. To Niagara and a sleeper, there's no honeymoon that's cheaper, and the train goes slow. Off we're gonna shuffle off to Buffalo. Someday the store may pay a visit and leave a little souvenir. Just a little cute, what is it? But we'll discuss that later, dear. For a little silver quarter, we can have the Pullman porter turn the lights down low. Off we're gonna shuffle off to Buffalo.
Kemp kicking things off with Shuffle Off to Buffalo. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you'd like featured on the program, send your request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, I would love to have you be a part of our social media outlets. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're looking for an antique radio, one that's fully restored and functional, now many with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at www.radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word. V-A-N-B, two E's and a K, and I've got some great sets available for you. Now we go back to 1938 with Jack Leonard doing the vocal on Tommy Dorsey's orchestra, and Blue Orchids.
Two beautiful blue orchids one night, while in my lonely room, it seemed my two blue orchids took suddenly to flight, and I never had a chance to see them bloom. Many moons have passed, but I found out at last why blue orchids live in a world apart. For when I met you, something pale and blue came stealing from the meadows of my heart. I saw my two blue orchids, my beautiful blue orchids, last night, and what a sweet surprise when you looked at me. It was plain to see blue orchids only bloom in your
house, a park bench were all the same to me. My sweetie was so very discontented. No chance for romance as far as I could see. But now my sweetie has repented. I recall the night the stars were shining bright. We were riding around in the rain. I asked her for a kiss. She said she didn't kiss. We kept riding around in the rain. Then I held her hand, but she didn't understand, and it all seemed so in vain. Then she answered, yes, I found my happiness riding around in the rain. So don't wait for June nights, and don't look for moonlight, and don't linger down in lover's lane. Wait and pick a night, a dark and stormy night, and take her riding around in the rain. Don't look for moonlight, don't linger down in lover's lane. Wait and pick a night, a dark and stormy night, take a ride round in the rain.
Glenn Gray and the Casaloma Orchestra from 1934, and a song written for Bing Crosby that was Riding Around in the Rain. Now we've got Kay Kaiser and the Gang from 1939 with The Answer Is Love.
The answer is love.
Jenny, Harry, later Sully, Ishka Bibble, and even the old professor is asking,
what's the reason little birds invest in a nest, do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Oh, Jenny, the answer is love. Why does Cupid aim his little dart right at your heart, do you know?
Oh, everybody knows that one, Harry.
What is it?
The answer is love.
Right. What caused the market crash that caused that big depression? What makes the world go round with a dizzy expression? What's the reason little Jack and Jill climbed up the hill? Do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
The answer is love.
Little cars break down out of town, do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Student!
The answer is love.
What's the reason the old granny looks just like baby Snooks, do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Student!
The answer is love.
Now a husband and his wife at the start of married life are as happy as pigs in clover, but when a month or two elapse, why do they have scraps?
'Cause then honeymoon is over.
What's the reason little kangaroos go round in twos, do you know? Does anybody know the answer?
Students!
The answer is love.
Like you, crazy people like you. Crazy people like the things you do when we fall under the moon. The moon above, you got me acting just like a loon. It must be love.
Boswell Sisters from 1931, a song they performed the following year in the motion picture The Big Broadcast, Crazy People. Now we've got the Dipsy Doodler himself, Larry Clinton from 1938, with the Dipsy Doodle.
Dance, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a masquerade ball with costumes and all, 'cause you were at the dance with me. It was just a ride on the train, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a trip to the stars, to Venus and Mars, 'cause you were on the train with me. And when I kissed you, darling, it was more than just a thrill for me. It was the promise, darling, of the things that fate had willed for me. It was just a wedding in June, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair with everyone there, 'cause you said, yes, I do, to me. It was just a wedding in June, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair with everyone there, 'cause you said, yes, I do.
Well, I had to sneak one in from the 1940s. That was from 1945, if only to mark the 25th anniversary of the passing of Francis Albert Sinatra. Frank Sinatra passed away back in May of 1998, but the music lives on, as does for this gentleman. Bing Crosby, it's our Bing Sings feature for the week, and we've got a song from the wartime years, actually recorded in 1942. It's called A Boy in Khaki, A Girl in Lace.
The same old sweethearts, the same old place. A boy in khaki, a girl in lace. He bends to kiss her, she lifts her face. The boy in khaki, the girl in lace. Tenderly he sighs, I will come back to you. Oh, my darling, please do, she replies. And so we leave them in fond embrace. The boy in khaki, the girl in lace. Thank you. side, I will come back to you. Oh, my darling, please do, she replies. And so we leave them in fond embrace. The boy packing, the girl.
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here on the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. Now this week we're going back to January 23rd of 1949 and tuning into the Fred Allen Show.
The Ford Dealers of America present the Fred Allen Show. Show with Fred's guests, Jack Haley, Paul from Hoppe, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your Ford dealer. Now that everyone's talking about the wonderful, different feeling you get driving a new Ford, why don't you try it yourself? Your friendly Ford dealer invites you to come in, get behind the wheel. It's a completely new experience to feel that surging equipoise power and the smooth, easy operation of those king-size magic action brakes. There's a brand new feel of safety in the strong steel lifeguard body, and in the clear view you get from having picture windows all around. Just feel the comfort of that midship ride on those wide, wide seats. Feel how smoothly those Hydrocoil and Paraflex springs soak up the bumps. You fairly float over the roughest roads. This week, for the thrill of a lifetime, drive the new Ford and get acquainted with the new Ford feel. It must be Sunday night again. Here comes Fred Allen driving up in his new Ford to keep his weekly date at the corner of Main Street. As Fred steps out of his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Mr. Allen!
Portland, she is. Well, Portland, what's been doing all week?
Last Monday was Benjamin Franklin's birthday.
Boy, that is news. Benjamin Franklin. Mm-hmm. He was another Boston boy, you know. Ben.
It sure is a small world.
What's a small world?
In 1752, someone told Benjamin Franklin to go fly a kite.
Yeah?
So today, I've got a big blister on my finger.
Well, how come?
If Benjamin Franklin didn't fly his kite, he wouldn't have discovered electricity.
Yeah.
If he didn't discover electricity, the toaster wouldn't have been invented.
Yeah.
And if the toaster hadn't been invented, ours wouldn't have stuck this morning, and I wouldn't have had to put my finger in to poke out the bread.
So because of Benjamin Franklin?
I've got a big blister on my finger.
You know, that joke reminds me of walking up Pike's Peak.
How?
It's too far to go to get to the point.
Franklin say, nothing is sure but death and taxes.
He certainly did, and Benjamin got death, and we've got the taxes.
Benjamin Franklin was mad at Patrick Henry.
Oh, is this some inside stuff, is it? I never read that in history. How do you know?
When Patrick Henry said, give me liberty,
yeah.
Benjamin Franklin came out with the Saturday Evening Post.
Big doings in Philadelphia, hey. Say, Post reminds me. I think I'll get a paper.
I'm going with you.
All right, come on. Let's take a walk down Main Street.
All right. What does the paper say?
Well, this is the editorial page here.
It says, Gems of Wisdom.
Oh, these paragraphs. What is that first gem there?
It says, you only live once. But if you work it right, once is enough.
There's a lot of wisdom in that. There's you don't have to live again, the repeat show for the coat. Here's an item. Look at this. The American people drank more coffee in 1948 than in any other year since the country was founded.
How much coffee does each person drink?
Well, who knows? Let's ask some people now as we're walking along Main Street. This man coming along with the live frogs on his smoking jacket. Pardon me, buddy.
Whom are you calling, buddy? I am Boris Shashlik, goodwill ambassador from the Soviet government. You are the goodwill ambassador?
The Kremlin is sending me to Washington to spread goodwill at the inauguration.
Well, the president invited Mr. Stalin. Why didn't he come?
Stalin is afraid to come to America.
Afraid of what?
Stalin might like it here.
Tell me, Boris, how was the inauguration?
Capitalism is crazy.
Crazy how?
The president is reading his message on the State of the Union.
Yes?
The post office is losing money. The treasury is losing money. The army is losing money.
So?
Everything the president is running is losing money.
So?
So what are the people doing?
What?
They are raising the president's salary. That's telling them, are you listening, Joe?
But Boris...
You bore me.
Now, wait a minute, Boris. Boris, how can you keep knocking America?
Always you Americans are bragging. You are inventing everything first.
Well, that's true.
What about electricity?
What about electricity?
In Russia, 100 years before Edison, we are inventing the electric light bulb.
Well, if Russia had it 100 years before Edison, why didn't the world know about the electric light bulb?
We are not knowing how to turn it on.
Tell me, Boris, our question tonight concerns coffee drinking. Now, how much coffee do you drink?
In Russia, nobody is drinking coffee.
No?
In Russia, everybody is drinking tea. It is no trouble.
Why is it no trouble to drink tea?
The government is keeping 180 million people in hot water.
But, Boris...
You bore me. Long live my Kromanov.
So long, Boris. Come on, Portland, let's go.
Look at the picture in that delicatessen window.
Well, which picture?
Two girls eating sausage.
Yeah?
The sign says, which twin has the bologna?
Well, that has to be the end of it. Say, look who just turned the corner.
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, is that a hole in the end of your mitten there?
Yeah. In cold weather, I always cut a hole in my mitten so as my finger can hang out.
Well, why should your finger hang out?
Well, now, suppose it's a bitter cold day.
Yes.
An out-of-town car pulls up. The driver's lost.
Uh-huh.
He says, which way is the main highway?
Yes.
Well, why should I pull my mitten off to point and freeze my whole hand? But with a hole in my mitten, I can just stick one finger out and show him the way.
Well, that's very good.
Having one finger on the loose, it comes in mighty handy at times.
For what?
Well, scratch in, for one thing.
Well, tell me, Titus, what about coffee drinking? How much coffee do you drink?
Oh, I had stopped drinking coffee.
Well, you did? Why?
It started keeping me awake in the daytime.
Coffee kept you awake, eh?
Coffee keeps everybody awake.
Yeah?
For 60 years, my grandpa, Fletus J. Moody...
Yes?
He used to drink 20 cups of coffee a day.
20 cups a day for 60 years?
After Fletus died, we had to set up with the body for 2 weeks.
Why?
From drinking all that coffee, Fletus was awake 2 weeks after he died. So long.
Well, come on, Portland. What are you smiling at?
Look who's coming out of the thrift shop.
Mrs. Nussbaum.
Can you be surprised? Every Sunday you're meeting me.
Well, I fake it. Say, is that a new fur coat you have on?
In the thrift shop is a fur sale.
Really? What sort of fur is that?
Leopard.
Well, it doesn't look like leopard.
The spots are fooling you.
Oh, the spots?
Besides the leopard spots, there are other spots.
What other spots?
Well, this spot here is a leopard spot.
Uh-huh.
This spot is goulash.
Goulash.
This spot is a leopard spot.
Leopard.
This spot is borscht.
Borscht. Well, the fur is coming out of the sleeve there, isn't it?
Well, at this season of the year, the leopard is shedding.
Oh, I see. What is that hole where the fur fell out there? That doesn't look like skin at the bottom there. It looks like cloth.
Oh, this I can explain.
Yeah?
Before this leopard was a leopard...
Yes?
He is a gabardine.
Fine, now about our coffee question.
All through my life, coffee is causing me trouble.
Coffee?
When a young girl, a charmer, I'm hostess at Cohen's Coffee Cup.
Yes?
Here I am first meeting my husband, Pierre.
In Cohen's Coffee Cup?
At every meal, Pierre is smoking 12 cigarettes, Also drinking 5 cups coffee.
You served him 5 cups of coffee?
One day, while together we are blowing on his 5 cups of coffee to cooling them...
Yes?
Pierre is proposing.
Oh. Well, after all these years, is Pierre still smoking cigarettes and drinking as much coffee?
On account of coffee, Pierre is having to stop smoking cigarettes.
Why?
Too much coffee is ruining his T-zone. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, Portland, a walk down Main Street is like the view from an insane asylum window. You've got to be crazy to enjoy it.
You haven't found out much about coffee drinking, have you?
No, I haven't. But I tell you what, I'll try one more passerby. This gentleman coming out of the Rexall drugstore looks familiar. Why, look, it's Phil Harris. Frederick. Phil, what are you doing on Main Street?
I just got back from Washington, Fred.
Really? What were you doing in Washington?
Well, the whole thing was a mistake. I heard a lot of talk about people in radio going to Columbia.
Oh, to Columbia, huh?
Yeah, there's a little agent out there in Hollywood. His office is in the floral shop.
Uh-huh.
He works behind a chrysanthemum.
Say, that's funny. An agent in a florist shop?
Yeah, he ain't much of an agent, but he smells nice.
That's unusual among the elk, isn't it?
Well, you see, this agent says, Phil, how'd you like to go over to Columbia?
Yeah?
I signed the contract to go to Columbia.
And you wound up in Washington?
Yeah, it was the District of Columbia.
No kidding.
Yeah, I ended up at the President's inoculation.
The President? Well, Washington crowded?
Look, Fred, people were so pressed, they were pressed so close together, Taft and Hartley had to take the hyphen out from between them. It took 2 days to get a room.
2 days going around a hotel?
Yeah, one clerk said he had a Murphy bed.
Well, was it a Murphy bed?
It was, and Justice Murphy was in it.
Well, how was the inauguration, Phil?
It brought back memories.
Brought back memories.
Yes,
right?
The President took the oath.
Yes.
Little old Harry standing there with his right hand raised.
Yes.
It reminded me of the last time I took the pledge.
Well, Phil, about our question. Tell me, do you drink coffee?
What's coffee?
Well, it's a fluid a great many people consume with breakfast.
Oh, is that brown stuff?
Yeah.
They serve it in cups?
Yeah.
I don't drink nothing out of cups.
No?
I only drink out of glasses.
Out of glasses?
When I drink, I want to look in and see what I'm putting in my stomach.
But coffee...
I don't waste any time drinking that goo.
Well, coffee's good to the last drop.
When I get to the last drop,
yes.
The last thing to drop is going to be me, Frederick. Me. So long, Frederick.
So long, Phil. Well, let's go, Portland. Come away from that music store.
Well, the man's just going to demonstrate a record.
What record?
It's Al Goodman, his orchestra, and the five DeMarco sisters.
Never mind all the details. What is the song?
Pretty Baby.
Pretty Baby. It's starting.
Everybody loves a baby. That's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, pretty baby. And I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby. Won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love?
And we'll cuddle all the time.
And it might as well be pretty baby of mine. Pretty baby, pretty baby. And I'd like to be your sister,
brother,
and
mother.
Won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love? And we'll cuddle. Might as well be you. Pretty baby of mine. Ah, baby. Pretty baby of mine.
Say, Wait a minute, Portland. Here's Kenny Delmar running down Main Street. Hey, Kenny.
Oh, I can't stop the talk, Fred. I got to get over to the cafeteria. So long.
Now, wait, Kenny. Come back. Kenny, what's the rush?
Well, if you think I'm rush, you should see the Ford dealer.
But, Kenny.
Everybody wants to ride in a 49 Ford.
Well, I know.
You know, all the Ford dealers have invited everybody to see how it feels driving the new Ford.
Well, look.
Well, that's why the dealer's so busy. He doesn't want anybody to miss the experience. He wants them all to feel the comfort of those sofa-wide seats, to feel the smoothness of the midship ride, to feel the surge of that equipoised power, to feel the safety in Ford's magic action brake. And did you know, Fred, just about everybody who takes the new Ford for a little spin says the same thing? They all say, drive a Ford and feel the difference.
Well, look, Kenny.
I'm sorry, Fred, I can't talk now. Gosh, that Ford dealer is so busy, I got to run over to the cafeteria.
Kenny, I don't get all of this hugger-mugger. The Ford dealer is swamped with people driving the 49 Ford to see how the new Ford feels. What has all of this got to do with you running to the cafeteria?
Well, the Ford dealer is so busy, I got to eat his lunch for him.
Oh, well, eat hearty, Kenny.
No, I can't. The dealer's on a diet.
Oh,
so long, Fred.
So long, Kenny. Say, Portland, I'm late. I just looked at my watch here. I've lost my watch. My wrist tells time now from having the watch on it so long. I have to get over to the Majestic Theater where Inside USA is playing.
Inside USA?
Yes, that big show, you know. I have to see Jack Haley about a television deal. Jack's one of the stars of the show. Say, do you want to see Inside USA? Jack can sneak you in through the back. He doesn't get much money. He makes a little extra by sneaking people in through the fire.
No, I think I'll go over to the Copacabana and try to get Jack Eigen's autograph.
Oh, really? Well, if he can write, get me one, too.
Good night,
Portland. Say, I better get over to the Majestic. Jack may be waiting for me there. Ah, this must be Mr. Haley's dressing room. Who else would have a neon star on the door 12 feet high? Well, I'll knock, see what happens. Hello, Fred. Jack Haley.
Come in, Fred. I'm just wrapping up some old clothes.
Old clothes?
Yes, the stars who used this dressing room before left some things here.
Oh, really? What things?
Well, Alfred Lunt left this shirt.
Yeah.
Helen Hayes left this scarf.
Yeah.
And Maurice Evans left this hat. Here, help me tie them up.
Well, tie them up with what?
Gypsy Rose Lee left this string.
Is that true about Gypsy Rose Lee, that she carries her wardrobe on a yo-yo?
It must be. They say Gypsy Rose Lee is 28 years old, and she's never seen a moth.
Well, how do you like that? Jack, I'll tell you why I'm here. I am here, confidentially, to warn you.
Warn me?
Jack, get out of the theater while there is still time.
But, Fred, the theater is my life's work.
Jack, last week on Broadway, 8 shows closed.
I know, but...
Everyone in the theater is cutting down today. They just fired the conductor on a streetcar named Desire. Starting tonight, it's a one-man car.
My show, Inside USA, is still a big hit.
Well, it's been running almost a year.
It can still run, Fred. We keep putting new things in the show.
Oh, really? What new things?
Well, we've got all new ushers.
Oh, really?
A new intermission, a new orange in the orange juice.
Oh. Really?
Yes, and I keep putting new jokes in the show.
Oh, good. What jokes?
Well, I come out and I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sing a little song dedicated to the New York Fire Department entitled, Keep the Home Fires Burning. We'll be there right after the party.
A yuck if I have ever heard it, yuck.
I murder them with that gag.
Yeah.
I tell the one about the Bronx cow that eats nothing but lemons and gives sour cream.
Jack, even with this dynamite material, the theater is doomed. You and I are going into television.
Television? Television is just a fad. It's like miniature golf, Mahjong, and Mel Torme.
But, Jack...
Well, what is television? Something they put in a saloon to take your eyes off the bartender while he's cutting the liquor.
But, Jack, think of it. In television, Haley and Allen, we'll be bigger than Howdy and Doody. And my show is a new idea. It's an opera.
A new idea? Why, the night the Met opened, the opera was on television.
But they sang the whole thing in Italian. Who understood it? Four people on Mulberry Street. After the first night, they had to take the Met off.
And your opera?
My opera is sung in English. People will know what it's all about.
What's your opera like?
Well, the music, you'll hear as it gets going, the music reminds you of Carmen, strangely. Only instead of Spain, my opera takes place in Middletown, USA. Now, in the first scene, the mayor of Middletown and the town council are gathered at the Greyhound bus station, you see? And as the curtain rises, the mayor and the council sing...
Our town is Middletown, it's only a little town, you'll find it way back in the sticks. Our town has an A in Pico, one is Club and Rotary, and tourists driving through all call us hicks. Only one thing ever happened here, so if you all will lend an ear, we'll tell you how the scandal all began. If you promise you won't let it out, we'll tell you that it's all about a certain party and a traveling man.
Well, that's the opening chorus.
What happens next?
Well, the Greyhound bus pulls in, and you get off the bus with your sample cases. The mayor of Middletown sees that you're a stranger in town, and he says, "Who are you?" And then you sing...
I'm the traveling salesman, folks, the one you hear in about those jokes. In all small towns, I'm a snappy guy with my peg top pants and my jazz bow tie. I smoke big stogies, $1.10, and on my breath, you can smell sen-sen. My bulldog shoes come from Tom McGann. Everybody knows me, I'm the traveling man. I carry all kinds of merchandise. I've got what you want in any size. I've got chic razors, push-pull, click, click. Cars, liver pills, and Airwick. Cellulite collars, candy and hose. Thimbles and needles, buttons and bows. Comes in a carton, box or can. I'm the guy who's got it. I'm the traveling man.
Carton box.
I travel the country to the coast and back, from Doowaditty to Hackensack. So I carry my goods from place to place. I never open up my sample case.
He carries his goods from place to place. He never opens up his sample case.
Though I'm the traveling salesman, I never make a quarter. I'm always too busy chasing the farmer.
Well, that was great, Jack.
Now, what's the next scene?
Well, you ask one of the rubes where the hotel is, you see, and he points down the road. And as you start walking, you come to a farmhouse. And hoping to make a sale, you knock on the farmhouse door.
Oh!
I'm sorry, did I frighten you?
You're a stranger, sir. I ain't never seen a stranger before.
And I've never seen such a beautiful girl before. And what is your name, Vision of Loveliness?
Carmen. Carmen Allen.
Tell me, Carmen, what are you doing here in Middletown, USA?
I work here on my father's farm. I milk the cows and chop the logs. I plow the land and slop the hogs. You can feel the muscles in my arms. Pray tell me what you want with me, sir. I have so many things to do. If you hope to fit your little woo, I'm afraid that that can never be, sir.
I've never seen a girl so pretty. Let me take you to the city. I'll buy you furs and a picture hat and diamond rings and silken things. You'll even eat in the automat.
I am a simple country maid. To flee with you, I am afraid. Unless my father you persuade, I am a simple country maid.
You are a simple country
be made. Your every wish shall be obeyed. Your father I will not evade. You are a simple country maid.
She is a simple country maid. Now she will not be afraid. Her father will be obeyed. She is a simple country maid.
A country maid.
Don't be afraid. That's what we say.
Hey, hey.
Me, dude.
I'm only a traveling salesman, Carmen, but the minute I saw you, I knew I was losing my grip.
I shall introduce you to Pa. What's your name?
Horace Treadwell.
Carmen?
Pa?
Daughter, what's the meaning of this?
Father, dear, I'll tell you why we're here. My wedding day is near. We're getting married.
Carmen, now look. Don't be a snook. This dude with the evil face in the sample case.
Listen, Fred, I love your daughter. I want to marry her. We ask your blessing.
But I am a farmer. She is my daughter.
I've been on the road since I was a boy.
You mean?
I'm a traveling salesman working out of Peoria, Illinois.
What's this? What's all this I hear in the lyrics? You're the... the traveling salesman, you say? You say you're the traveling salesman and you want to marry my daughter?
Oh, but Pa, how is it me? Is it life?
Well, no daughter of mine is marrying no traveling salesman. Carmen, there's only one thing to do.
What's that, Pa?
Show him the door, daughter, show him the door. Carmen, I implore. Show him the door. The farmer's daughter's doing something she has never done before. She's showing the salesman the door. The presenter on the radio says she must go. She's showing him the door.
Show him the door, Carmen, show him the door. The traveling salesman is sore. This never happened before. On the radio, the censor sets the door. So Carmen, show him the door.
This version of the salesman joke will never get a raw.
This is radio.
Get out the door.
And good riddance to Horace is gone. You got to remember, Carmen, you're the farmer's daughter.
But Horace wanted to marry me.
Well, that can never be, Carmen. The traveling salesman and the farmer's daughter story has been told down through the ages. Now, once you see the traveling salesman marries the farmer's daughter, the story's finished. When salesmen meet and get together in smoking cars around the country, there won't be no way to start a conversation.
You're right, Pa. Good night.
Good night, Carmen.
This is the finish, friends. This is how our story ends. Middletown is once again serene. The salesman lost the farmer's daughter. The first time he hasn't caught her.
It wasn't funny, but we kept it clean.
Closing up, here's an SOS for all Ford owners. SOS meaning suggestion on service. For expert service for your car, make it a habit to see your Ford dealer. He knows Ford's best. He has special equipment and can furnish genuine Ford parts. This all adds up to a fine service job at a reasonable cost. See your Ford dealer this week. Next week, our guest will be Rudy Valley, and next week, I will still be on this network. No other comedian can make that statement.
This is...
No, no, Douglas, don't jump yet. This is Gary Moore, friends, telling everyone to keep tuned for The Exile with Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., and 90 minutes later, Take It or Leave It with me over NBC.
Go, Joe, go!
And the old clock up on the studio wall tells me once again it's time to close up shop for another week of Nostalgia Radio Time. I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hoping you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your song requests, your old-time radio show requests, or any comments about the program. Send them all to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, if you happen to look for an antique radio, want to add one to your collection, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. And I've got some great sets available for you, now many with Bluetooth capability. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.